It's a pleasure. We've spoken with him many times before. He has been full square in the eligibility fight. Reverend James Manning joins us. Reverend Manning, good morning. Welcome back to Denver.
Good morning, Peter. How are you?
You know, I'm well. I saw you on TV the other day, and I've been following you on your website, and I know the great work that you've done. And we talk about people that have taken a lot of hits through this, and mentioned Jerry Corsi and Orly Tates and, you know, Jack Cashill and guys. But you were a guy that, I mean, you got beat over the head with this, the things that people said to you and about you. So first of all, I just want to say, you know what, I watched you go through a lot, and now after Georgia on Friday, I don't know even where we begin. So if you would, for the audience, a little bit of your background so people know who you are and your thoughts about what happened in Georgia on Friday.
Well, I'm the pastor of the Outlaw War Missionary Church in Harlem, New York, and have been so now for 30 years, and working with the community and understanding the major problems that have been precipitated in many ways by the Democratic Party, the liberal ideas, Jesse Jackson, and all that crowd, that has really destroyed a generation of people. So we work feverishly to try to reverse that trend of constant destruction. I think what we're looking at in the African American or black community is perhaps the worst state of being in this nation's history. And when Obama came along, I realized, because of several other telltale signs, that, first of all, he was not a patriot, he was not good for America, and he certainly was not good for the people of America, and he was leading black people away from their possible last hope. So I jumped in the fight, and I've been fighting ever since that time. Just to be brief about that, and we've had some scars and some threats, some death threats. We've been visited by the CIA, and they've sat outside our church, and the police department have surrounded our church, just intimidating us. But beyond that, we've stayed in the fight, and we give God the praise for the people that have supported us. The event that took place in Georgia this past week, I thought, was the beginning of at least the first opportunity to get on record in a court recognized by the state and federal government several things that Orly Tates and Mark Hatfield as attorneys were able to do in bringing pleadings against Obama for being ineligible to serve, though he did not show up. The court record did indicate that there are several things about his ineligibility status based on his father's birth and some of the claims that have been made regarding his Social Security number, and just a plethora of other things that are now a part of the court record. So it was a day of celebration, but we're not out of the woods yet.
What's your best guess on what's going to happen? Of course, the judge, everyone's waiting for this decision or statement. The judge said on Friday, and this is verbal, so it's not obviously in writing, that he will enter a default judgment against the president of the United States. The president ignored the subpoena. His lawyer did four different attempts for reasons not to show, and finally just frankly said, we're not going to show. So best guess it, Reverend, what happens next?
Well, it really is the guess, Peter. The court proceeding requires a default judgment. Now, generally, a default judgment does not necessarily mean one is guilty. It's just that you didn't show up. So by default, a ruling has to be made in favor of the plaintiff. So he has to issue a default judgment. Anything else would be criminal. Now, where does he go from there? Does he also take that default judgment, pass it on to Brian Kemp, who is the Secretary of State of Georgia, with a strong recommendation that Obama be not allowed to appear on the ballot because of a outstanding court order against him? And that is just standard procedure. There's nothing prejudicial about that. There's nothing genius about it. It's just standard court procedure. To do anything else tomorrow would be criminal.
Do you believe the decision does come tomorrow?
Well, the judge has hastened the day. He moved the day from the 5th of February to tomorrow. You know, I'm praying that it does, Peter.
Yeah, I am
but
as well.
This we're up against a very evil person and an evil support system in the establishment of Obama. So it's hard to say.
Well, the other thing that you have written about and I watched you speak about is the media blackout, Reverend. It's amazing, isn't it?
It's criminal. It represents that there, if nothing else, demonstrates that there is a conspiracy. the media blackout definitely speaks loud to that issue, that they refuse to cover this. More specifically, I think that the media, especially the conservative talk media, that claims to be in opposition.
Why do I agree to that? Wow.
So Obama just have refused to raise it as an issue. Listen, Peter, when the alleged sitting president of the United States is summoned to court and a subpoena has been handed to him and to his attorney, that is national and international news.
I agree.
I mean, how could you not report that if the president of Nigeria was supported? They would have to recover.
We've made the case or attempted to make the case that, you know, how quickly, you know, and I'm not fans of these men, don't misunderstand me, but you saw Newt's ex-wife in about 11 seconds, the women accusing Herman Cain, and he drops out. But this is something that's significant, that he ignores a subpoena, four attempts they give. I read Jablonski, four different attempts to tell you why. The story changes every time. Finally, they simply ignore it. The Secretary of State, Brian Kemp, says in a letter, he says, look, you're free to abandon this and not participate, but you do so at your client's peril. Now, even Richard Nixon, at the worst of those days, and I know you remember them, he at least, and I despise Nixon, but at least he sent his attorneys to court.
And everyone else does as well, Peter.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's my mother used to say, do as I say and not as I do.
That's exactly right. I heard the same thing.
I think that when we have the highest sitting official in our land refuse to respond and to, at the very least, respect the court, what does that say to the American people?
Well, we used to always say that. You know, Nixon walking away, what did that really mean? The so-called unindicted co-conspirator, as history now knows him, what did that say to young people? It said a lot.
Yes.
I mean, it really did.
It speaks volumes. But I think that the fact that the media is not pursuing this is troubling to me. It is deeply troubling to me. I mean, are we moving into communist Russia or China?
I say it all the time that, you know, that's why there is a rise in talk radio. But as you point out, Fox News, the alleged conservative news base, they've done nothing with it. Limbaugh, all the big name conservative talkers. I don't know as if after that weird PDF showed up, and that was supposed to allegedly, you know, that birth certificate that shows up flown in overnight, that was supposed to stop all of this. And in the minds of the mainstream press, it did. But I cannot for the life of me imagine that if Newt Gingrich or Mitt Romney or, for that matter, Joe Dokes were to ignore a subpoena, it would be big time.
Well, I think that going back to the PDF and the birth certificate that showed up in April, for the media to simply take that and never ask another question, there's always a follow-up question, Peter. There's always a follow-up question to anything that anybody says.
Sure.
And there was no follow-up question. The entire media, liberal, conservative, non-conservative, whatever, swallowed that hook, line, and sinker.
I agree.
There's something serious that the American people need to consider about what does this mean for the future. Forget about Obama now, what does it mean for all of us?
Yeah. And what was most amazing out of all of it, and just as a headline grabber, the POTUS, the President of these United States, could not pass E-Verify.
Yeah, that's right.
Reverend, that's amazing.
No, it is. It is astounding that's what's going on. Why is this happening to our nation?
Yeah. It's a great question.
Why
are
we allowing this to happen? And why are so many people sitting on their hands in silence? Because it isn't that people are uninformed about this. This matter has been noised thoroughly throughout the American population.
Yeah. Well, and one more question. I know your morning's busy. 13 after the hour, one of the all-time good men in this fight, Reverend Manning, James Manning. Reverend, how does it end? I realize that nobody can know, but what's your guess?
I suspect that the matter of the 2012 election process, once a nominee has been chosen, we're going to see a very, very bloody fight.
Yeah.
And at that point, Obama becomes even more vulnerable. And we're just going to have to make a concerted effort to get behind people such as myself to push this thing forward.
Yeah.
I used to be clearer, Peter, on my statements. Mm-hmm. but I'm losing faith in our judicial system and the media, and those are the catalysts that gets this thing moving. But I'm losing faith, I have to tell you. Not that I'm losing faith that we're ever going to win the fight. We're going to win, but I'm just becoming a bit dismayed at the fact that this criminal activity has been okayed by so many people, including the Supreme Court.
You know, I'm with you. I mean, I think since I've been in this business probably too long, but my respect for the business and the people who are in it, and I'm talking about television, radio, newspapers, it's so diminished. And again, you're talking about your mom. My mom used to talk about the nose on your face.
Right.
I mean, it's that clean. And the fact that the president of the United States has a Social Security number in Connecticut, he could not pass E-Verify if he was applying for a job. That's amazing. Reverend, that's amazing. And yet, here are you and I, like, sitting there talking to each other like we're talking to ourselves. You know, it's like, where does this go? So you think that the decision will come as soon as tomorrow?
I'm praying that it will, but there are several hurdles yet to overcome.
Sure.
Number one is whether or not a recommendation is indeed powerful enough to deny the entire state of Georgia the opportunity of voting for Obama. That would be the next fight. I'm not sure, because it isn't clear from what I've been able to determine thus far that a recommendation is not a sentence. It's not an imposed sentence. It's simply a recommendation. And, you know, you can recommend to me that I brush my teeth in the morning.
Of course. Of course. I mean, I've read as much, I think, that's available. And when people ask me, I have no idea. I have no idea. But at least one thing is for sure. That one moment in time on Friday, when the president refuses a subpoena, his lawyer does the same, and the judge says he will enter a default judgment against the president. That's big stuff.
It's historical.
Yeah.
And, I looking in history, Peter, it has always been this way. There's always been just a few on the critical issues of truth and justice. And during the moment of the event, usually the evil looks or appears to be winning. But as time moves on, history records that those who are on the side of truth and justice ultimately prevails. And so that moment when the judge issued that default, or at least that hearing took place, we became mega winners.
Reverend, mega winners. Indeed. Your friendship means everything to me. We'll talk probably towards Thursday, Friday. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Reverend James Manning.